I'm ringing a lot this morning. Can you hear that, or is it just me? I think it feels a little hot this morning, but that's probably better. Maybe you didn't touch anything, and it was just mental with me. Did you touch something when I said it was better? You know, I'm glad you did. You'd say, no. Just give me a placebo, and I'm in good shape, right? So I would ask you, if you didn't receive a handout, to raise your hand, but don't, because I am out of handouts. Oh, me of little faith. I knew it was Memorial Day weekend, and I never like to be disappointed. But if you need a handout, then we can share. So raise your hand if you need a handout. Raise your hand. You got one? You have an extra? Oh, have an extra. Somebody needs one. Raise your hand. Okay, got a couple back there. Yeah, we'll share. All right, that's good. Now I know the people that don't want to pay attention. You're giving away your notes, and so. But Blair, what we'll do this morning is when we're done preaching, you'll forget by the time that happens, right? But then you'll go get ready. Go get ready while we're having the invitation. Does that sound good? Sound good? All right. Well, open your Bibles. Matthew chapter 9. You can open your Bibles to your handout. Again, I do these handouts because I want us to spend more time seeing the Scripture, hearing the Scripture, then turning to the Scripture, though I like you to be able to do that, right? So, again, this will be three different angles of the same true story. And the Bible is just glorious with that. So I want you to pay attention, see what you can learn. You've probably, many of you have heard this story, but just look at it with a different eye this morning. Matthew chapter 9, you'll see that in the handout. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. Now, well, let me give you the background here. I made you look down again, then look back up. The background is this. Remember, this happens right in the middle of Jairus' daughter dying and then being healed by Jesus. So Jairus, he was a ruler of the synagogue, comes to Jesus, and he falls down before Jesus, and he begs the Lord to come and heal his daughter, for she's near death. And in the middle of that conversation, somebody comes from his home and he goes, "Why troubleth thou the master? Your daughter is dead." Well, in all of this, at the same time, remember it said that people thronged Jesus and crowds were just flocking to him. And it was just a press around him, right? This woman happens in the middle of this scene. Now, what's fascinating, you remember how old Jairus' daughter was, 12 years old. Well, this woman has an issue of blood for 12 years. I don't know what the Lord's doing exactly with that, but that's not an accident. And this woman shows great faith, but let's just see this story, but it's right in the middle. As Jairus comes to Jesus and is explaining his daughter, this woman is sneaking up behind him. And let's read the story. Matthew chapter 9, verse 20. "And behold, a woman which was diseased with an issue of blood 12 years came behind Jesus and touched the hem of his garment. For she said within herself, 'If I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole.' But Jesus turned him about, and when he saw her, he said, 'Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole.' And the woman was made whole from that hour." A very succinct summary of what happened, but now let's look at some details. Mark chapter 5, in your handout, the second paragraph. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 says this, "And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood 12 years, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. When she had heard of Jesus, came in the press behind and touched his garment, for she said, 'If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole.' And straightway the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of that plague. And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press and said, 'Who touched my clothes?'" Verse 31. "And his disciples said unto him, 'Thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me?' And he looked round about to see her that had done this thing." He gets eye contact with her. But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. And he said unto her, Daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of the plague. Now let's look at the account in Luke. It gives us some more information. Luke chapter 8, verse 43. And a woman having an issue of blood, 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood staunched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, so she didn't come forward that quickly, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. That word virtue means strength. That word virtue means power. If you're wondering, what is that? It's strength and power that Jesus felt left him. Verse 47. When the woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. He said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace. Title of the message this morning, What's It Gonna Take? What's it gonna take? Maybe I have different eyes with a passage and circumstances in life, and I want to tell you this. This 12-year issue of blood with this woman was the best thing that ever happened to her. Now, she lost a whole bunch, but it brought her to Jesus. I want each of us to think individually, what's it going to take? Oh, Christian, you tell me you're a Christian. What's it going to take for us to finally obey the Lord in all aspects? Oh, lost person, what's it going to take? What's it going to take for you to finally fall before the Lord, humble yourself before the Lord, and put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? What's it going to take? You know the news this past week. A great tragedy. I think the Lord would agree with that terminology. 19 children, 2 adults. Is that still the same? I think nothing's changed. The grandmother's still in ICU, I think. And 19 children, 2 adults, just exterminated in video game type fashion, right? I've seen all of the reports, and I've actually talked to different Christians, it seems that most people are just really upset at the policemen. You know, they could have gone in earlier, and I want to tell you this. I'm sure things could have been done better. But I want to tell you, I have not heard once yet, we are the problem. What's happening to America is Christians are no longer salty. Christians are no longer the light. The problem with America is not lost people. The problem with America is Christianity. That we no longer, I just asked somebody this morning, I go, I want to ask you this. How many of you in the last 6 months, how many of you have had somebody come up to you, and I hope there are some hands, how many of you had somebody come up to you and try to witness to you, try to share the gospel of Jesus Christ, not just say, have a good day, have a blessed day. How many of you have had somebody that said, if you died tonight or some fashion, they were concerned about your soul and they wanted to share the gospel with you? How many of you in the last 6 months say, yes, someone has approached me in the last 6 months? We got one, we got two. I love that. But it ought to be every one of us, and we ought to see it happens all the time. How many of you in the last 5 years, have had somebody come up to you, and I hope there's more hands, have had somebody come up to you and they were concerned for your soul and they wanted to share with you the only saving faith? How many in the last 5 years have had somebody? Okay, that's good. I'm encouraged with that. But my guess is it's not multitudes of times. I mean, I think we ought to be so lovingly zealous. We ought to be kind. We ought to be gentle. We ought not to force anything on people. But I'll tell you this, we ought to be so consistent that the world knows the gospel. The world doesn't know the gospel. I can ask the average person on the street, can you tell me what the gospel is? And I get a blank stare. My fear is I can go into Baptist churches. And if I got them outside of church, I go, could you tell me what the gospel is? Would you panic if someone says, I am dying. Would you tell me how to be made right with God? Would you know enough? You should. If you're saved, you should know the gospel. I will tell you this. We ought to secure the schools, and I think we will secure the schools. And I don't think there's anything more tragic than the death of children. I think the Lord agrees with that. I think the Lord mourns over the death of those 19 little 9 and 10-year-olds. Someone's asked me, you know, what's the criteria to be worthy of the judgment of God? It's the knowledge of sin. There's not an age of accountability. It's the knowledge of accountability. The Bible says, for by the law was the knowledge of sin. You ask me, 9 and 10-year-olds understand they've sinned. I'm telling you, if a 5-year-old can get saved, then a 5-year-old can go to hell. No. If a 6-year-old can get saved, then a 6-year-old can go to... This is the tragedy of all of this, right? Is the eternal perspective of all this. But I want you to understand this. Before we get upset at the policeman, at, you know, my heart breaks for the lady that propped the door open with the rock. There was no evil intent in her doing that. She'll live with that for the rest of her life. Before we get on people that prop a door open with the rock, just an innocent little thing, maybe. I don't know. Maybe the air conditioning wasn't working. She wasn't doing it to invite a criminal into the school, but she'll live with that for the rest of her life. My heart breaks for her. She needs to see the love of Christians wrap their arms around her so that we can try to represent the love of God. But I want you to know this. I haven't heard this. And I think we ought to secure the schools because there's a lot of nuts out there. There may be nuts in here. But I think we ought to secure the schools. But I want you to understand this. That's not going to solve the problem. The nuts may not go to the schools then because they're so secure. It's going to be an expensive thing. But the nuts will come here. The nuts will go to the grocery stores. What are we going to do? Are we going to run and hide? You see, we cannot be like the world. What's it going to take for us to finally get right with God? Get right with God and do the Father's business. Rather than being nervous and afraid about what might happen to us, my eternity is solved. My eternity is set. I am not worrying about death. My stepdad just turned 80, so we had a dinner with him last night. So I know some of this might sound a little rough, but my stepdad knows me. He loves me. And so I'm just pretty direct with my stepdad. I'm not direct with you guys. I really take it easy on you, just so you know. And so, you know, I'm always pushing on him. You know, you need to have some Bible study. You need to have Bible study. Even in my happy birthday card, I said, can't wait till you tell me about your first Bible study. And so, you know, I'm just telling him. And so I love my stepdad. He talks about death a lot. I guess when you're 80, you do that. And I said, the day I die will be my best day ever. I said, because for me to live is Christ, but to die is gain. I said, I hit the jackpot when I die. I said, death is my enemy, and I don't look forward to how I'm going to die, but the day I die will be the grandest day of my life. I will be in front of the Savior that is real. The one we sing about, he is absolutely real, and he loves me, and he knows me, and he will embrace me, and I'll be happy with that physical touch. You better believe it. And so I look forward to that day. I'll have all the love languages perfectly, and when you get to heaven, I'll hug your, well, your, I don't know if spirits can hug, but when the resurrection happens and we get our new bodies, I'll hug you and you'll be like, who are you? I go, I've been conformed to the image of Jesus. You're like, I don't recognize you. Of course you won't. But I want to help you understand this. It is the Lord doesn't want children killed. So what's the issue? Christianity's being drugged through the mud. I hear it all the time. Oh, forget prayer. Too late for prayer. You know, somebody told me, one of the talk show hosts, which who cares? They said, if I hear one more person say, we're praying for you, I'm just going to want to punch him in the mouth. Well, that's the spirit of America. We do need to pray, but I'll tell you, there's something greater, Christian. It's the gospel that changes hearts. But I ask you, just this past week, I want you to evaluate this. I want you to evaluate your past week. Could anyone have gone to heaven with anything that you talked about this past week? I'm talking, did you share the gospel of Jesus Christ with one lost person this past week? I'm talking the full gospel where they could truly be saved. I ask you this, could anyone, because they can't go to heaven unless they understand the gospel, did you share the gospel in a clear way that might just be used of God to bring them to a saving knowledge of His Son? Could anyone have been saved from, oh, my Bible's falling apart. And so, I'll fix that. I just got a new Bible, and now this one's already falling apart. Could anyone have been saved? I want to ask you, what's it going to take? Adam this morning, if I can use Adam, and I love Adam. He allows me to give him a hard time, and Adam's just in a great place. You'll hear more about that this morning, but he told me today, I said, second Sunday in a row. And he goes, I just told LaRosa's. He said, I just told LaRosa's that I can't work on Sundays anymore. And then he went to say this. He said, I wasn't dogmatic about it, but I let him know that, I really, really don't want to work on Sundays, but I wasn't dogmatic. I said, I get it. I said, I remember when I married my wife, I said, I will not commit adultery against you. I said, I'm not dogmatic about it. But I said, I'm going to do the best I can. I was teasing with Adam because Adam lets me do that. Because you know what I think Adam ought to do? LaRosa's, I can't work, not going to work. If you schedule me, I won't be there. Thank you very much. See you on the flip side. Be nice about it. Don't be Steve Hall about it. But, what are we doing for the gospel of Christ? My stepdad, do I call him my father-in-law sometimes? You just got to understand, when you get a stepdad in your 50s, it's like, I don't even know what to think of. I told you this, right? Right before that were the first wedding I ever did, my mother and my stepdad. You know, some people say, hey, what are you doing this weekend? I said, marrying my mom. And they'd be like, what? And so I didn't know, I know you'll think this is weird. Somebody said, well, what do you think of your stepdad? This is like 2 days before I was going to marry him. I'm like, huh? I'd never thought about him being my stepdad, but he loves me like a son. And so I love him. So it's just good. So last night, he's trying to encourage me. He said, well, we were at the restaurant the other day. And he said, he tries. I'm helping him, right? Trying to help him. And he said, I saw this young man. He was such a nice waiter. And he said, he went outside and he was smoking. And he goes to tell me his story. You know, he's 80, and you to go back that many years, it was kind of a common thing for most people to smoke, I think. I don't know about most, but it was not like derided like it is today, right? But so he smoked, and his little girl had some lung issues, and the doctor said, you need to stop smoking because it's going to hurt your little girl. And he goes, when this surgery's done, if it's a success, I'm going to stop smoking. And the doctor said, no, you need to stop smoking right now. And he goes, why don't you come with me and I'm going to show you some of the pictures of lungs of people that smoke. And so he said, no, okay, I don't need to look at the pictures. He goes, I'll stop smoking. He said, you stop smoking from that point on. He said, so I saw this young man standing outside. And he said, he came back to our table and I said, young man, you should quit smoking. Told him about the pictures that he saw because he said he went later and saw the pictures. And the young man was very cordial, very nice. And my stepdad finished that. And I said, well, that was useless. I said, that young man's still going to die and go to hell. I said, you know what the Bible gave us? The Bible gave us an incredible illustration of hellfire. And I said, you know, you were so bold to talk about smoking. I said, why didn't you talk about the real eternal smoke that'll extend from his soul for all of eternity? I said, I think it's more audacious to look at somebody and say, you shouldn't smoke, than to say, hey, are you sure you know if you died today you'd go to heaven? You know, he could stop smoking that day and he'd still go to hell. You got to understand, my stepdad, he's okay. He goes, yes, you're right. I was just trying to help him, right? I said, your days here on earth are shorter than what you've had. I said, I want you to finish the race. I want you to sprint on the race. I said this, what will change your life is if you have a spiritual baby. I said, you're going to call me and ask me how to change a diaper, and I'll come by and help you how to change a diaper. I said, we're going to teach the Bible. But I want to ask you this. What have you done this past week? Did you speak to anyone concerned about their soul? Carl was telling me he spoke to a guy, and he's trying to witness, and the guy said, well, I'm a Baptist too, but I don't witness. Well, join the club. See, the problem with America is that we're comfortable. And you know what? As long as God takes care of me, my, and mine, and my health, then I'm okay if everybody dies and goes to hell. That's at least the spirit that we bring. That's at least the perspective that we bring. I want you to look at this lady. I want you to look at her, the woman. Let's learn from her. The first thing I want you to see is that she had lost her health. She had this struggle for 12 years. That's 4,380 days. I'm not morbid, but I've calculated how long I think I'm going to live. You guys, some of you have heard me say that before. And I think, okay, because you don't see big guys live that long, right? So I'm going to live shorter, and that's okay, so I better get with it, right? I better get with it. And so it's you little guys that live longer, right? But it's been, you know, so I'll hurt more and die quicker. And so 4,380 days, she had this issue of blood. We'll talk about that in just a second. That's a long time. Now, you understand Jesus' earthly ministry was, you know, 3+ years in that range, right? I mean, I'm not worried. We just know he had 3 Passovers that he dealt with. So it could be plus or minus. And so understand this. 4,380 days, she had this ailment, she had this issue far before Jesus' earthly ministry. But Jesus had his earthly ministry and was doing wonderful things. This is getting probably toward the middle, toward the end of his 3-year public ministry. And so I wonder, what took her so long? She lost her health. You know, the easiest way God can get our attention is we lose our health. I want you to understand this. You see, it can be misunderstood. You see, I do not believe God desired the killings in the elementary school. When evil occurs, it's because we have moved away from God. God, the word God at its root means good. The closer we get to good, the further we're away from evil, the more that good will occur. You want the blessings of God, draw nigh to God. You want the blessings of God, obey and honor Him. God is just, He is allowing the consequences of our rejection of Him. We get upset with God. God still constrains things unbelievably. The fact that we don't see this more often and more often and more often is the grace of God that constrains the evil of men's heart. Understand this, men are evil. All of us were evil prior to Christ through and through. There wasn't one good thing about us. There wasn't one scintilla of goodness in us. Nothing that would attract God to us by our own. It's His mercy, it's His grace. I want you to understand that. And so when I suggest that will God have to take your health, it's because we've moved away from Him. I bring Adam's story up because I tell you this, it's the average Christian. Church attendance, most Christians kind of get, sort of, maybe sort of. Right? But what about sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ? Right? What about just, you know, and I will tell you this, I might flip on this. I will tell you this. Well, I'll talk about it later. But you can lose your health because it's at another point. But you can lose your health. But I want to tell you this. It's not God necessarily striking you. There are times that God will allow Satan to touch your health for His honor and His glory. Look at Job chapter 1 and 2. So it's not for us to judge, but I just want to tell you this. When is God going to get our attention? If we look at our congregation this morning, we say, well, what can we do? We can obey God because God can do anything. You know, I've told you many times, the little kid on the seashore, and he had thousands of starfish, and he's tossing one starfish in at a time, and the old man comes up and he goes, "You can't save all these starfish." And he goes, "I can this one. I can't share the gospel with every single person. I just looked up. There's 45,000 people in Fairfield, Ohio. I'm probably not going to be able to share the gospel with 45,000 people, but I can one more." This guy, this young man, I'm telling you this because I want you to start asking people to have Bible studies. Met this young man this last Tuesday. His name's Devorius. This kid was like he was a bright light, and he was just a super nice young man. And I said, "Wow." I said, "Man, you just are encouraging." He was just a cashier. I said, "You are so encouraging." I said, "I just got one question. Do you know for sure you're going to heaven when you die?" We had a good conversation prior to that, and he goes, "Well, I don't know." I go, "Well, that's what I love to do. The divorce is going to have a Bible study with me." Now, he didn't respond to my first text. I responded to a second text, and I said, "I'm so sorry if I offended you. I said, this is just my passion. I love to have Bible studies. If you tell me to leave you alone, I'll leave you alone." He texted and said, no, don't leave me alone. He said, "I just got busy." And he told me what days he's off, what times he's available. And by God's grace, we'll have a Bible study. I don't do that to pat myself on the shoulder. I'm just telling you this. Maybe Devorius will get saved. And here's what I know. Devorius knows a lot of people that are lost. Because that's all he knows. Right? I want to ask you this. If we're going to be part of the world seeing a difference, what's it going to take? I want you to know this. I'm not nervous at all. If church shootings start and they're just rampant, I'm still going to be here in this pulpit and I'm not worried at all. I want to tell you this. Nothing will affect me until God says it can. I'm not asking for foolishness, but do not walk around in fear. Do not worry about, you know, the devil's, he's running free right now, all under the authority of God. Are you afraid to go to Walmart because there's a shooting at Walmart? Let me just tell you a simple thing. If somebody's stealing something, leave them alone. Right? But if someone's trying to hurt your kids, protect your kids. Right? So I want you to understand that, right? But we've got to have some wisdom. If I'm going to be a hero, it's going to be with the gospel of Jesus Christ. I talked to our group when we were flying back from South Africa. I said, "How many of you guys think when you're on a plane, if the plane's going down, what are you going to do? How many of you have ever thought about that?" Okay. Well, I figured, you know, I'm loud and big, and I'm going to stand up and I'm going to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know, that's the way to go, isn't it? On an airplane, my family would be loaded, man, when they get that settlement. And then I won't feel much, right? Or I'll be the only guy that survives, and I'll be on, they'll resurrect That's Incredible just for me, that show. And some of you remember that show. I'll tell the Lord, I don't want to survive. And so, but if he has me survive, I'll know there's a purpose in that. But it's, I want to go sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to go serving the Lord. I don't want to go in rebellion and in sin against God. The Lord blessed this woman when he took her health because it got her attention. I want you to know this too. This is just a freebie. I've got a lot to say and I've got quite a bit more to go, but just you sit there and relax. It is, we need to be pro doctors and pro hospitals. You understand that? Christians, they're not trying to kill you. I want you to understand this. How many of you know an awesome auto mechanic? Raise your hand. You know, I know Munib, and I would just say he's okay. It's this. Okay, so not many hands went up with an awesome auto mechanic, right? Because this, it's hard to find a good, honest auto mechanic, isn't it? They got the manual. They know how the car was put together. God didn't send us the manual how he made us. Doctors are trying to do well. I'm just telling you this. She went to these physicians, and it said she was more the worse. I want to tell you this. Go to the hospital and trust in the Lord. I've got some good news for you. If you complain and you whine and kick and scream, do you think they're going to be more attentive to you or less? I'm just giving you some wisdom. You need to be in charge of your medical care, and I'm okay with that. If you don't know what you're talking about, don't Google, right? But if you're going to go to the hospital, trust in the doctors. Because you're going to trust in the Lord. If you want to get bad medical care, then you run them down the road. I've seen a lot behind the scenes. So this woman, you know, she was worse off by going to doctors. You know why? Because doctors try their best. I want you to understand that. Don't have this mentality. I want you to know this. This is what I believe. Nobody was trying to kill America by giving COVID vaccines. I didn't take the vaccine because I didn't need to. I was a healthy young man. Amen, amen. And I told my mom and stepdad, take the vaccine. You're the target audience. I'd like to see you a little bit longer. And so, but nobody's trying to kill people. You got to understand this. The devil is. We can trust the Lord with all that, right? So I just give you that freebie because I go to hospitals and stuff, and sometimes I'm like, oh, wow. Be nice. Be nice to nurses. And I know two of my daughters are nurses, and I do hear some stories. Be nice. They will come to your room less if you're not. Just the sheer thing of avoiding conflict. Be nice. Trust in the Lord that the nurses He gives you, the physicians He gives you, are just the ones He wants. I didn't say not be in charge of your health care, but this woman lost her health. She was an outcast. Let me help you understand an outcast. Listen to Leviticus 15. It says, if a woman, Leviticus 15, 25, if a woman have an issue of blood many days out of her time of her separation, or if it run beyond the time of her separation, all the days of her issue of her uncleanness shall be as the days of her separation, so shall she shall be unclean. Every bed wherein she lieth all the days of her issue shall be unto her as the bed of her separation. And whatsoever she sitteth upon shall be unclean as the uncleanness of her separation. This is part of the Levitical law. Whether this issue of blood was the same, it would have been related specifically to women. And if that were the case, she would have been an outcast, been considered unclean. You got to understand why she trembled. She got in the midst of the crowd, and she didn't want to be highlighted for violating the law. Remember, they didn't really know the God of the Bible, but they knew the rules, and they knew the rule keepers. She was an outcast because she had this issue of blood for 12 years and going. What's it going to take to get your attention? God's going to have to take our health. Is God going to have to be an outcast? And she spent all of her money. I was going to say this earlier. I'm okay. I teach this. I believe this. I believe the principle of God's word is that believers tithe. But I'll just tell you this. I'm not worried. It doesn't tell you to tithe in the New Testament. But here's what I will tell you this. We were in Psalm chapter 73 last week. Just let me read a couple of verses from Psalm chapter 73. And I just want to tell you, who are you following? Who do you believe in? Because I'm going to tell you this. I'm okay if you tell me, no, the Bible doesn't command that New Testament believers tithe. Okay? Here's what the Bible says in Psalm chapter 73. It says this in verse 3. It says, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. Listen to verse 7. Their eyes stand out with fatness. They have more than heart could wish. Listen to verse 12 and 13. Behold, these are the ungodly who prosper in the world. They increase in riches. Verily, I have cleansed my heart in vain and washed my hands in innocency. This is the author, under the inspiration of God, writing, I blew it. I should have done exactly what the world did and pursued their prosperity. Well, let me tell you how you do that. You keep all your money and you spend it yourself. So I'm going to suggest to this. If you don't give, you're missing out on a blessing. You are. The Bible gives that the one blessing that He says, He'll open up the windows of heaven and pour out His blessings. So I'm okay. You don't have to give. I'm okay if you don't give. God will take care of us. I've seen it enough. God will take care of us. I tell people this. I know this banker. Just like Mark Coffey in South Africa. He got $119,000 for a children's home in 7 days. I said, Mark, does this happen all the time? He said, no, this is the first time. He's still blown away by it. When God wants us to have money, He'll take care of us. He always has. I could tell you story after story after story. I'm not telling you. I don't preach on money because the Bible doesn't speak about it much. Before I studied the Bible completely, I heard the Bible talks about money a whole lot. No, let me tell you this. It's in your best interest to give. You wonder why you don't have the blessings of God? You wonder why your money doesn't go as far? I'm just telling you, you need the blessings of God. Are you a financial whiz? Probably not many people in this room are. You think you can outdo God? I'm just telling you this. I'm telling you, she spent all her money, and she had nothing left. You see, I'm just telling you this. The average Christian will stay exactly where they're at and do nothing more if they have health and they have enough money to pay their bills and their kids are okay. I think that defines most Christian families in America, right? God, the worst thing God can do is leave you alone. I don't want to end my life not serving the Lord. I can't make up for the previous 56 years. But I tell my stepdad, I say, let's finish well. Let's finish well. I said, I'll tell you this, if you get it now, you'll wish you could live a little longer for the right reasons. I want to live longer because the work of God is critical that we get involved with. I want to ask you, what's it going to take? What's it going to take? And you see, it's the worst thing God can do is just leave you alone. And I think that's what he does for the average Christian. They can pay their bills. Their health is okay. They go to church. But after that, I don't know. If the world depended on Hope Baptist Church, remember that first church at Jerusalem, 120 people, and they had the commission to go to the world. I think they did a pretty good job through the grace of God. What about Hope Baptist Church? If we were the only church in the world, and praise the Lord, we're not, would the world be reached for Christ? The answer is no. And it starts with your pastor. What's it going to take for us to take it seriously? Then the Bible says she heard about Jesus. Every one of you in this room, you've heard about Jesus. But I want to show you this, that she humbled herself. And the Bible says that she came behind him. She was ashamed. She had this issue of blood. It probably was consistent with Leviticus 15. Maybe not. We don't know. But she humbled herself. I want to tell you this. Before any of us can be used of God, we must humble ourselves before God. We must put ourselves in the position to go, I can do nothing without you. But I will tell you this, God would delight in helping you and using you for his glory. My wife just told me, D.L. Moody, I love this statement, I haven't forgotten about it. D.L. Moody said, if at the end of his life, he said, if I had everything to do over again, he said, I would make my sole ministry to children. It's a great challenge for me. I saw just droves of children in South Africa, droves of children across the world. And that's where the need is. Will we humble ourselves and make our life about something other than ourselves? Will we get over ourselves and say, my life is not about me? There's going to be a day where I can't do the things I do today, but until that day, I'm going to do it. I have no issues. You enjoy the holidays, right? We got people gone, and I'm thrilled about that. You are faithful at coming to church. You're faithful. I want to help you know this. I want you to get to the next level. This is the best church I've ever pastored. Some of you got that. And so I've never been part of a church that had more people that I thought were more desirous to spread the gospel and share the gospel. I just tell you this, we've got to ratchet it up. We have to take it to a new level. When you see these tragedies, you know what our first response will be? I've got to get more focused on the gospel. I've got to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. When we see these tragedies, it should break our hearts. We should pray for these families. I can't imagine the sorrow, the hurt, the emptiness they feel. They need Christ. When we see these tragedies, we've got to get more serious about the gospel. Will we humble ourselves and make our lives about something other than ourselves? How much of your life is about the Lord Jesus Christ? How much of your life is about yourself? I love this young man. He just told me recently, he said, just wish I didn't have to work. And he wasn't being lazy. It came from a heart that said, I'd rather do this. God expects us to provide for our family. Maybe he was working on that young man's heart to say, maybe God would give you the privilege. That's just all you do. I want to tell you this. Do you desire the day that that's all you do? Is that you are part of the gospel ministry? You are sharing the gospel with the Devorises of the world? They'll have Bible studies with you. I am a big guy. I'm an intimidating guy. I'm not a guy that says, hey, how you doing? Tell me about your life. I mean, I just, would you have a Bible study with me? You're blown away. How many people say yes? You're nicer. You're more approachable. People will say yes to you. I'm asking you, how many are you teaching? I think we have to humble ourselves, get over ourselves. I want you to see two things, and I'm done. Two things with Jesus. One, he delights in faith. He delights in faith. You know this? I want you to know this. There's not one impressive person in this room. Nobody can accomplish anything without God. But God delights in your faith. We are as in a helpless situation as this woman with the issue of blood. She could do nothing but reach out in faith and just touch the hem of his garment. There's some interesting studies to be done just on his clothes and what layer of clothes that is. That's kind of fun, but I didn't want to take you to a level that I'm always about the so what, so that couldn't be a so what, but it's fun. You ought to study it. And so touch the hem of his garment. He delights in faith. Will you trust the Lord? Because I know this, every one of us, we have a Moses in us that go, well, you know, that's just not my thing. I'm slow of tongue. I'm not that sharp. I'm not that quick. You don't have to be fast of tongue. You don't have to be sharp, and you don't have to be quick. You just need to be obedient. Right? And it needs to be dogmatic. Right? I love Adam. Adam's the only one of the few people I know that's honest. We all think that. Adam says it. And I slap him across the face in love. And Adam takes it well. Adam takes it well. And so I want to ask you this. That's all that God wants is obedience. And he delights in faith. If your first thing is God can't use me, then I want to tell you this. Not because of you. Because of his goodness, his glory, and his greatness. I want to tell you this. The final thing is he's willing to share his strength. He's willing to give us his power. That word is dunamis. When it said, I felt virtue go out of me. You've heard me say the word dunamis before. That's where we get the word dynamite. He basically said, I felt dynamite go out of me. And it dried up her issue of blood. And it's, just listen to this, just so you know. It's 120 times used in the New Testament. 77 is power. 11 is mighty work. 7 is strength. 7 is miracle. 4 might. 3 virtue. He said, I felt dynamite go out of me. Power. And he wasn't sorry about it either. I want you to know this. We need the power of God. He's willing to give us the power. Let's never attribute it to ourselves. This is the balance of Christianity. We want to be used of God. How do we keep pride from ushering in? And we just beg God. He won't mistreat us. Say, God, keep me humble. God, help me to humble myself. I'm not afraid to pray that prayer because my God will never just strike me down. Are you afraid? I can trust God. If I ask God, he's not going to say, oh yeah, I can humble you. He's going to humble me for his glory and for my good. And I want him to. But I will tell you this, young me, I need the power of God. If I don't have the power of God, I can do nothing. He delights in faith, and he delights in giving his strength. Oh, Christian, what's it going to take? I want us from now on, I want us to mourn for the families. I pray you hope I wasn't making light of this tragedy that happens. I think God mourns, if I can use that term without misrepresenting him. He loves the children. He said, if you mistreat any of these children, it'd be better for you to have a millstone tied around your neck and cast into the sea. The Sea of Galilee was also called the abyss. That would be better than you to mistreat children. God cares for the children. Wasn't making light on it. But oh, Christian, the only thing that's going to change America is God through his people. You understand that? We, his people, need to humble ourselves. Turn from our wicked ways. And then God will hear us and he will use us. Oh, Christian, let's not go another week. That at least let's share the gospel where God can use it and somebody can go to heaven. The average Christian, I think, goes weeks, months, 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 and nobody could get saved on what they're talking about. It's okay to talk about the Reds. I'm glad they're horrible because who wants to talk about them? So I'm not saying you can't enjoy life. God gave us this earth for our enjoyment. But there's a work to do. Oh, Christian, I am burdened. We had 9 and 10-year-olds at Compass Elementary. We have 9 and 10-year-olds in our congregation. I want the 9 and 10-year-olds to hear about Jesus. I want the 11 and 12-year-olds to hear about Jesus. Will you do what God's commanded us to do? Final story with my stepdad. My stepdad, he looked at me and he said, "You are something else." He was saying it in a good way. He said, I just adore you. And I said, "You know what? I call him Lou. I don't know what else to call him, but I call him Lou." I said, "You know what, Lou? I said, you can live the life of Christ the same way. I'm nothing. You can be used of God and get involved in His work. But what's it going to take? What's it going to take for you and I to put our faith in God and Him to give us His power?" Let's pray. Father, I pray that you'll use